Turn with me now in your Bibles to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and I want to look at verses 57 through 80 of Luke, chapter 1. We will begin in Luke 1, verse 57. Before we hear God's Word, though, let's join our hearts together again in prayer. Father, we thank you for the light of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, which has shone into the darkness of our hearts. We thank you, dear God, that that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot extinguish it. We pray, dear Father, for your Spirit now to bring illumination to our minds and our hearts to understand your Word properly, and make us by your grace to be doers of your Word and not hearers only. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 1, and beginning in verse 57. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be?" For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. This is the word of God. Now, this song of Zechariah, the priest and father of John the Baptist, is the second Christmas hymn in the Gospel of Luke. The first Christmas hymn is the Song of Mary, which we covered this morning. Now, Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were godly people, walking blamelessly in the commandments of the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. But when the elderly priest was serving before God in the temple at Jerusalem, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." And the angel revealed that John's mission would be to turn Israel to the Lord their God in repentance, in preparation for the coming of the Christ, the Messiah. John would be his forerunner. He would prepare the way for his coming. As foretold by Isaiah the prophet, John would be a voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, Isaiah 40, verse 3. Or as Malachi prophesied, John would take up the prophetic mantle of Elijah and prepare the way for the Lord to come suddenly to his temple, Malachi 3, 1. John would be a prophetic figure a prophetic herald announcing the imminent arrival of Christ. He was the forerunner, preparing the way of the Lord. In the words of the angel Gabriel to Zechariah, John would go before Christ in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Chapter 1 of Luke, verse 17. So John would be empowered by the Spirit of God to fulfill that mission. That was his mission, and he would be empowered by the Holy Spirit to fulfill that mission. And in fact, John would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Verse 15 says, and John was filled with the Spirit in his mother's womb on the very day that he heard Mary's greeting. We heard it this morning. John, when he heard the greeting of Mary, leaped for joy in the womb of his mother Elizabeth. Now that was John's first prophetic witness to Jesus Christ. John's leap heralded the presence of the Messiah. The Messiah was present in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and John's leap heralded the presence of the Messiah. It was a miraculous foreshadowing of John's ministry as the one who would identify Jesus as the Messiah and announce his arrival. When John the forerunner saw Jesus coming toward him at the Jordan River, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world." John came as a witness to bear witness about Christ so that all people might believe through him. And Elizabeth, John's mother, was the first to hear John's testimony when he leaped for joy in her womb at the sound of Mary's greeting. Luke says that Elizabeth on that occasion was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." So the significance of John's prenatal praise was not lost on Elizabeth because the Spirit of God revealed to her its meaning. The Spirit revealed that John leaped for joy because the child in Mary's womb was the eternal Son of God. He was the Lord. He was the Messiah. How is it that you, the mother of my Lord, should come and visit me? So already John's witness about Christ was bearing fruit. Even before John was born, his witness to Christ was bearing fruit. When Mary visited Elizabeth, Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, and Mary stayed with her, we are told here in Luke 1, for 3 months. That is, Mary stayed with Elizabeth until her child was born. And the birth of Elizabeth's child was an occasion for great joy. Her neighbors and relatives, including Mary, came together and rejoiced with her, verse 58 says. And on the eighth day, in accordance with God's covenant with Abraham, Zechariah and Elizabeth came to circumcise the child. By circumcision, a Jewish boy would be officially enrolled as a member of the covenant, and that was also the time for his naming. The rite of circumcision was accompanied by the naming of the child. And at the time, it was customary for those who were present at the event to suggest various names for the child from the family's lineage. And I suppose we do that even in our day. Parents in particular like to suggest names for our children. And of course, on this occasion, when John was being circumcised, those who had gathered for the event suggested that he should be called Zechariah after his elderly father. But Elizabeth, remembering the name given to the child by the angel Gabriel, said, "No, he shall be called John." And when the crowd objected that none of their relatives had been called by that name, they asked the father what he wanted him to be called. Now remember, Zechariah at the time could not speak. He had been silenced by the angel Gabriel and was unable to speak because of his unbelief. And so to answer their question, he picked up a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And immediately the Lord opened Zechariah's mouth and loosed his tongue, and he declared God's praise. He blessed the Lord. Just like his wife Elizabeth and his son John when he was in his mother's womb, Zechariah too was filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 67. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, Zechariah proclaimed a hymn of praise and thanksgiving to God for his salvation that has come through Jesus Christ, just like Mary did in Zechariah's home 3 months before this event. So Zechariah blessed the Lord, verse 68, he blessed the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. That was the purpose of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. That was the reason for his coming into the world. Through the offspring of the Virgin Mary, God had come to visit and redeem his people. That's why Christ was born. Her son, Mary's son, is Emmanuel, God with us, and he came to save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. God was, in the words of Zechariah and Zechariah's song, God was raising up a horn of salvation for his people in the house of his servant David, verse 69. Now, in the Old Testament, a horn, which refers here to an animal's horn, represented power. It represented glory, and it represented kingship. The Lord Jesus Christ, the child of Mary, is the king that God raised up in the house of the Lord. He is that Davidic king. In other words, Jesus, the son of Mary, is the horn of salvation that God raised up in the house of David to save us from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. And of course, our arch enemy is the serpent, the devil, whom Christ came to destroy. Christ came to crush the serpent's head. Now, the birth of Jesus then is portrayed here in Zechariah's song, his Christmas song. The birth of Jesus is the fulfillment of God's covenant with David. It is the fulfillment of the covenant that God made with David, in which God promised to give David's son a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, so that he might reign over all the earth forever and ever. In the nativity of Jesus Christ, God fulfilled that covenant promise to his servant David. And God also remembered and fulfilled his covenant with Abraham. That is, God fulfilled the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, verse 73, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. God's promises to Abraham were fulfilled in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the offspring of Mary is the seed of Abraham. Mary's offspring, Mary's child, is the seed of Abraham, in whom all the nations of the earth are blessed. Now, in the closing words of his hymn, Zechariah moves on to focus his attention here on his son, whom he named John on this occasion, and on John's role as the forerunner of the Messiah. So Zechariah foretells here the future of his son, John the forerunner, and he also prophesies about the coming of the Messiah. In verse 76, Zechariah says, "And you, child..." And this is interesting because Zechariah, the father, addresses the son directly, and he gives him a prophetic word that is about him. When he was only 8 days old, he pronounced this prophecy over him. He gave him this prophetic word. "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways." That's his mission. That's his role. That would be his ministry. To go before the Lord, the Messiah, to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Now, that too is defining the mission of John the Baptist. He would prepare the way of the Lord by giving the knowledge of salvation to God's people in the forgiveness of their sins. That was John's mission, to give the knowledge of salvation in the forgiveness of sins. Now remember, that's what John preached. He preached repentance and he administered the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That's what Zechariah is talking about. He's defining the mission of his son, and that, of course, is exactly what his son did. Now, finally, Zechariah's song, which is the second Christmas hymn in the infancy narratives of the Gospel of Luke, Zechariah's song ends with a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 78, Zechariah turns his attention from John, the forerunner, to the Messiah who would follow after him. And in verse 78, he says, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Zechariah knew that his own son John was not the light, but that he was sent to bear witness of that light, and that true light, which was coming into the world and gives light to every man, would shine on those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Christ Jesus himself is the sunrise from on high, who gives light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, in the realm of sin and death. I think it is significant here that in Zechariah's Christmas hymn, Zechariah bears witness to Jesus as the light. Zechariah does here what his son is going to do in his ministry. Zechariah is foreshadowing the ministry of his son, John the forerunner. Now remember how the opening of John's gospel puts it. The Apostle John says that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all people might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. How fitting it is that John's father, immediately after naming his son, prepares the way for the ministry of his son, which was to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord by bearing witness to the true light, the Lord Jesus Christ, which was coming into the world.